This afternoon, the title of my message is, Whose Counsel Are You Receiving? And it's so, it's not a coincidence. I always, you know, ask God for a sign to confirm what he has laid on my heart to share with you. And that's the first song that we had this morning had to do with God being our comforter and our counselor. And this morning, my question to you, church, is whose counsel are you receiving? Whose counsel are you receiving? Life can present us with challenges and decisions that are not easy to make on our own. Therefore, it is imperative when seeking counsel that we examine the character of the person or persons of whom we receive our advice. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Again, I say to you, whose counsel are you receiving? We need to examine the motive of the persons or person giving counsel. You know, sometimes we receive counsel from people and they might advise us based on what is there for them to gain or for any vested interest. And so, I want to speak to us this afternoon about the importance of seeking godly and wise counsel. It is so key in our walk with God because the counsel that we receive can lead us into the promises of God or can bring about disaster. What we listen to, who we listen to, has a lot to do with our destiny in Christ. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. And I read from verse 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." 16. "When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." And so Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. You are not able to perform it by yourself." 19. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." 23. "If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure, and all these people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Once again, I say to you, whose counsel are you seeking? Remember, I said earlier on that when seeking counsel, we must examine the character of the person or persons of whom we receive advice. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses' father-in-law gave him counsel. And Moses received the counsel of his father-in-law. But when receiving counsel, we must always ensure that it is in line with the will of God. Wise counsel will be in line with the will of God and with the word of God. Let's just look at verse 8 of the same Exodus 18. Now, and Moses said to his father-in-law, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that they had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good, and it goes on. I go to verse 11. Now, this is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they have behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Now, Moses' father-in-law, the point I want to bring out here, Moses received counsel from his father-in-law after he had come to know the Lord. Read it yourself. The Bible says in verse 11, now Jethro said, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing which in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. And the Bible says he brought out an offering and ate bread with Moses. When we are seeking counsel, who is given the counsel? Is it someone who gives counsel as the world will give, or is it someone that gives counsel as God will direct? Who are you receiving counsel from? Wise counsel is what we need. Counsel can come in various ways. You can receive unwise counsel, as we will see later on. But I want to say to you that in this, especially in this year of conquest, be wary of who you receive counsel from. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, and I believe this is so key to this message, it says, for by wise counsel you will wage, you know, I love the way the New King James put it. It says, by wise counsel you will wage war. No, it doesn't say that. It says, you will wage your own war. By wise counsel, you will wage your own war. This is the year in which we are fighting, and we're going to conquer, and we're going to dwell. And the Bible says that by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. That means in fighting, you need wise counsel. The Bible says it without mincing words. By wise counsel, you will wage your own war. We all have a war. We all have a battle to fight. Because you can't conquer if you don't fight. Can you conquer if you don't fight? You've got to fight in order to be able to conquer. And so, the Bible says it very, very clear. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, you don't win a war by receiving unwise counsel. You will always lose a war if you receive unwise counsel. And so it is important for us that we seek to receive wise counsel. Unwise counsel, like I said earlier on, will always, almost certainly, lead to disaster. It is possible to receive unwise counsel. As also, when we receive counsel from a group of people, we cannot assume that the majority is always right. But then some will say to me, hang on a minute. Proverbs 11:14b says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Yes, that is true. But it is in the multitude of wise counselors, because we have unwise counselors as well, isn't it? It is possible for us to have unwise counselors. So what the Bible is saying is that in the multitude of wise counselors, there is safety. I'd just like to read what my footnote says here on Proverbs 11:14. It says, in modern times, as much as formerly, leaders of nations need adequate counsel. So do all individuals. We all need to seek advice from wise and trustworthy people. And so, and as we will see, if we turn our Bibles now to Numbers, it's a familiar story, Numbers chapter 13. Let's turn our Bibles to Numbers 13. And I'll read from verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome it. Okay, 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Okay? 10 men brought a report that was not God's report. And remember what we said. The will of God will always line up with the word of God. When anybody brings counsel to you and it does not line up with the will of God, I can assure you that it will not line up with the word of God. Because the will of God will always be in line with the word of God. Hallelujah. Was it the will of God for the children of Israel to take possession of the land? Right? Was it the word of God? Was it also God's word? Did God say to them that you will take possession of this land? Okay. So 10 men came and said something that was against the will of God and something that was against the word of God. There were 10 men that said that. That's why I said to you, it's not always, you don't receive, except it's wise counsel that comes from the multitude of counselors. You know, one man can bring counsel, while 100 can bring, while 100 can bring unwise counsel, as we will see later on. So again, I say to you, ensure that where you're receiving counsel, or the person from whom you are receiving counsel, is someone who bases their counsel on the word of God. Examine the character of the person from whom you are receiving counsel. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 22. And we'll read from verse 6. Okay. Verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? And so they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Hallelujah. How many of us, sometimes people speak into our lives, and we say, you know what, that is not for me. Because you have not heard what you want to hear. You know, the truth, they say, hurts. And so we all want to avoid the counsel that speaks the truth. Sometimes, not every time. But when God is speaking to us through wise counsel, the things we may hear might not be, you know, what we want to hear. But I would advise you to hear what God is saying as opposed to what man is saying. Because man will always come sometimes to speak the things that we want to hear, the things that will tingle our ears, but they are not God's way for us. And they're not wise counsel. But God alone is the one that gives wise counsel. And again, I say to you, if it is not in line with the will of, if it's not in line with the will of God, it cannot be in line with the word of God. When it is in the will of God, then it will also be in the word of God. It will always line up. The will of God will always line up with the word of God. Can I hear someone say an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 13 of for the same 1 Kings 22. The messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one," I'll say that again. "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of them and speak encouragement." Now, remember earlier in verse 6, 400 prophets had said to him, "Go to war." 400. 400. And so, but one, Joseph said, "Is there still not one?" And this messenger was also encouraging the man of God, you know, to speak the things that, you know, the majority were saying. He wanted him to conform, you know, just, you know what, 400 prophets have already told the king to go to war. What's your own business? You know, just go ahead and, you know, agree with them. Endorse what they've said. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that. Do not be deceived by what the majority are saying. If the majority are saying something that is contrary to the will of God, please go with the minority. If the minority are standing on the word of God in giving that counsel. One man spoke the truth. Let's go on. And verse 14. "And Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak.'" Whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. "Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, 'Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain?' And he answered," I love this, "'Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king.'" Of course, he was just, you know, trying to mock him, because this king had always said that this man, remember he said, "This man never says anything good, you know, to me. Everything he says is evil." So, you know, the prophet was just saying, "No, let me see how this guy will respond." "Say, okay, yeah, go. You know what? You're going to win the war." And the king said, let's look at his response. So the king said to him, verse 16, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Now, what will this man do? He tells you the truth, you say he doesn't say anything good about you. Now he's trying to, you know, wind you up. And again, you're saying, you know, what? Of course, he wasn't telling him the truth. He wasn't telling him the truth this time around, because he knew the kind of king that he was. And now the king is angry. But then, after this, what happens? Verse 17. "Then he said, 'I saw,'" this is Micaiah. He said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. Let each return to his house in peace. That was God's message. That was God's counsel. He said to him, you know what? I saw the sheep scatter. Let every man return to his house in peace. Don't go to war against Ramoth Gilead. And trust the king. Again, the king says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he will not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Now, I feel for this prophet. He says one thing, the king is against him. And now he's telling him the truth. And he's saying, did I not tell you that this man will not prophesy any good concerning me? And sometimes that is the way we are as believers. You know, the truth is always hard to swallow. But I would rather swallow the truth than swallow something that will bring, you know, hurt or disaster in the future. The truth is what can set us free. Wise counsel is what we need from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the story goes on. I mean, we all know the king was killed. He ended up, you know, he was so arrogant, and I don't know what word to use for this king. He still ended up going to war, even after the wise counsel that Micaiah had given him. And of course, he was killed. And that's why I said, unwise counsel can lead to disaster. The king was willing to listen to 400 prophets on whom the lion sprayed was upon, instead of listening to the one man, the voice of God. Sometimes, it's not the majority that is right. In this case, 400 men were wrong, and just one man gave him wise counsel, and the king refused, and he was killed in battle. Hallelujah. We should ask ourselves this question when seeking counsel. Does this advice fit the character and nature of God as portrayed in the Bible? Does this advice that I'm about to receive or I'm receiving, does it fit the character and nature of God as portrayed in the Bible? If we go back to Numbers 13, Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse 9. Remember I said the will of God will always line up with the word of God. And this is, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That was the will of God for the children of Israel in asking them to go into the promised land. And that will of God was in line with his word, because that is what God said to them. He said, the Lord is with us. God said to him, I will be with you. And Joshua was quoting here. He said, you know, do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. But then they chose to go with the majority again in that instance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And I'll read from verse 11. 1 Kings 13. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. But they also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Okay, I go to verse 15. Then he said to him, this is the old man, come home with me and eat. The old man saying this to the man of God. And the man of God said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. Verse 17. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. For I have been told by the word of the Lord. Say the word of the Lord. You shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. In this case, again, the man of God had received, he knew the will of God. You know, God had told him. God had given him wise counsel. He said, I have been told by the word of the Lord, don't eat bread or water. Return, nor return by the way you came. Verse 18, he said to him, that is the old man, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. Say, our God is not a God of confusion. I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And the Bible says he was lying to him. Again, the lying spirit was at work. The lying spirit was at work in the lives of the 400 prophets. Again, this old prophet had a lying spirit in him. Unwise counsel comes with a lot of falsehood. Wise counsel will always state that which God is saying. And again, the man of God fell for it. Verse 19. So he went back with him, that is the man of God, and ate bread in his house and drank water. When he himself said, I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread or drink water. Why on earth would if a man of God can hearken to unwise counsel, I fear for you, you know. We need to guard our hearts. We need to receive wise counsel. The man of God went back with him, and he ate and he drank, contrary to what God had told him. And the Bible says, now it happened as, verse 20, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, commanded you, but you came back, ate bread and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your corpses shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. What a sad situation. The same person that gave him unwise counsel is the same person that God used to bring judgment, you know, upon him. The same man. After he himself had said categorically that the Lord told me. If the Lord has told you to do something, don't let unwise counsel make you change your mind. Stick to what God has said. Stick anytime God has spoken. If God has spoken to you by through his word, through prayer, by the pastor, you know, stick to what God has said, irrespective of what you see. You know, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Just be moved alone by the Spirit of God. We sing that song so many times. Let God alone be the one who decides what happens in your case. If the man of God had listened, he listened, God told him, God spoke to him, but he did not carry out God's instructions. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way you came. Why did the man of God not follow God's instruction? Why did he end up listening to unwise counsel? May we not find ourselves in a situation similar to this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And I read from verse 4. Now this is verse 4. Yep. Your father, this is Jeroboam speaking. Your father made a yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. Now these were the people who had come from the northern tribe. And at this point in time, Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, was the king in Judah. And what this guy was saying was, during the time that Solomon was, you know, building the temple and his own house, he used a lot of, I mean, we can't go into that now, but if you want to read that story, you can go to 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. And he used a lot of, you know, I don't want to call them slave labor, but, you know, he put a lot of people to work on that. And what this man was saying was that, you know what, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but you know what? Lighten our yoke, and we will serve you. That's what they said. And so he said to them in verse 5, depart for 3 days and come back to me. And the people departed. Verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he had lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? Verse 7, and they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. That was the counsel that the elders gave him. If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Verse 8. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. May we not listen to counsel because these people, because you are with people that you are familiar with. You know, the Bible says the young men that grew up with him, he rejected wise counsel in order to receive unwise counsel from people who are close to him. But because of we don't have enough time to go into that. It is such an irony that Rehoboam, who was King Solomon's son, did not choose wise counsel. His father was known for his great wisdom, and his son chose to receive unwise counsel. And because of that, the nation of Israel was divided. You can go and read the story. You know, they said later on, you know, what share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to your own house, O David. That was because Rehoboam refused wise counsel, and it led to the division, you know, the northern tribes and Judah. That is a very sad situation. A wise man, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 5, will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. If we want to conquer and dwell, that is prosper, we must learn not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We must learn not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It's so funny that, you know, Proverbs 1 and Psalms 1 both start with a message that we should receive wise counsel. We all know Psalm 1, what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, but and whatever he does shall prosper. So wise counsel brings prosperity. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. May we not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. May we constantly and continually walk in the counsel of the wise and receive counsel from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, you know, time does not permit me. Let me just share with you, and I think this is also important, I believe, you know, for us as men, those of us who are married. Sometimes we as men tend to, you know, put aside counsel that comes from our wives. And then maybe 3-4 months or 3 weeks later, we now realize that, oh my goodness, I should have listened to this woman. You know, if a married man, if I'm telling the truth, lift up your hand. If that has happened to you as a married man, it's happened to me. You know, so men, receive wise counsel. Nabal was a man, you know, the Bible, you know, it's possible for you to be very rich and be a fool. Oh, you don't believe me? 1 Samuel 25. We're going to close with that. 1 Samuel 25. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. The name of the man, verse 3, was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When I read that, I said, how come this man was of the house of Caleb? This wicked man from the house of Caleb. You know, to the extent that even his servant said in verse 17, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. So that tells me that probably his wife would have been giving him advice in the past, and he never listened. But in this case, this is the situation where wise counsel brought about, you know, or prevented disaster from happening. We all know the story. You know, David was asked him, you know, to give him and his men some food. And David and his men had helped him out. You know, they had defended them, defended his cattle, his property. And the guy said, you know, who is David? And David's men went back to tell David. And the Bible says, verse 15, but the men, this is David's men speaking and talking about Nabal's men. But the men were very good to us. Sorry, Nabal's men talking about David's men. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he's such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. I mean, these servants they must be very brave, you know, telling the wife of their master that their wife, that their master is a scoundrel. I mean, they're the servants telling the wife of their master that he's such a scoundrel, you know, that one cannot speak to him. Thank God that he had a good wife, a wife that is very understanding. And she did the right thing. Quickly, she prepared. She prepared provision and went after David. And she redeemed the situation. May we always be willing and ready to receive wise counsel. God is the one who gives us counsel. May we be people who will constantly receive counsel from the Lord. And I close with this. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. I leave you with that. Incline your ear and hear the voice of the wise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you for your word. We thank you, Lord, God Almighty, for the entrance of your word that brings light. For indeed, O Lord, you are the God who gives us counsel. And Father, may we be a people who will receive godly counsel. And Father, may we be people who know when you speak and when you are giving us wise counsel. May we not be people who will receive unwise counsel that leads to disaster. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We thank you because we know that indeed in you we live, we move, and we have our being. May we continually align our lives with the counsel that comes from you. Your will always line up with your word. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here this afternoon and you don't have a relationship with God, you do not even know how to receive counsel from him, you've never at any point in your life acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior, and you're saying, I want to receive this counsel. I want to receive wise counsel from the Lord. I need to receive this counsel from God. We wage war with wise counsel. And Father, I pray that this afternoon, if you are here and you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do so right now, I'd like you to just indicate by lifting up your hands and we'll pray with you. If you want to give your life to Christ, you've never ever at any point in your life acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here and at one point in time you gave your life to Christ, but right now you're doing your own thing, you're not walking in God's counsel, and you're saying, just like the prodigal son said, today I will return to my father. If you want to make that U-turn this afternoon and rededicate your life to Christ, I'd also like you to indicate by lifting up your hands and we will pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the entrance of your word that has brought light today. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we as your people will continually receive counsel from you for every single day of our lives. May we not be found in the company of those who give unwise counsel. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a big round of applause.